And be seated and open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalms 103. This is part three of Psalms 103, and it's the last part. I've been teaching you this last 3 weeks my favorite psalm, which is 103, and I'm hoping that it becomes one of your favorites. And I had this attitude. My thought is, I'd never, ever get in this pulpit and teach something that I'm not striving in my life or to live. I'm not saying I'm perfect. What I'm saying is I believe what I'm saying and I'm practicing it in my life. And Psalms 103 is one that has been for decades for me, something very dear, something that I'm really focused on right now and cheering the Lord. But a couple things before we go into it, I want to say there is a move of God happening in the United States. It started a few years ago, and in 2024 compared to 2023, spiritual belief in Jesus Christ and church attendance is up 22%. That is awesome. But you know what age group it's up in? Who did it? Who brought it up? Gen Z. They are more excited about Jesus than the older people. There's still older people who have not come back to church since COVID. Got a little comfortable, not wanting to do anything, not wanting to get connected, but God really wants you in the house. And thank God for Gen Z, because I believe they are a generation that is going to make a big impact on the entire world. And I say, way to go, guys. Keep it up. Keep going. Okay, so let's go into Psalms 103, get you a little understanding about what's happening. And this is what I've covered the last couple of weeks. The first section, I divided it up into three sections. The first section, the first five verses, is the power of remembering. And this is where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So we talk to you in depth. You know, the easiest way to listen or to watch our past videos, our past teachings, is on our church phone app. Because you can go right there, you can go, and they're listed there, and you can listen to them, or you can watch them, you can cast them onto your TV if you want. And the second section is the hand of deliverance. Last week, I talked to you about the delivering hand of God. I talked to you about how God wants to deliver and wants you to be set free. I'm going to give you a tiny recap of that this morning. And what we're going to cover today is verses 19 through 22 that I call, your kingdom come, your will be done. In other words, I want God's will in my life. I want your kingdom in my life. I want your will in this world. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is how Jesus taught us to pray. But I'll let you know how that gets into it. But there are truths, the key truths for facing trouble in your life. And this is just a tiny recap that I felt necessary. This is from last week. And last week I hit you with a couple of big words, and I want to look at two of them, withstand and stand. From Ephesians 6:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, that you may be able to withstand. This is how you fight the enemy. You may be able to withstand in the evil day, and I shared with you last week, the evil day is when the enemy's attacking you, when things aren't going right, when you might have a train wreck, you might have a challenge, something might be happening in your life, that you withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. But I want to first of all talk about this word, stand. I shared with you last week that the word stand means to put, to place, to make stand, or literally to be there. If you are truly standing in the Lord, you are present. You aren't denying the problem. You aren't denying the issue. You aren't denying what's going on in life. You are present, and you are present with the power of God. Because that's where the next word comes in, withstand. Withstand means to resist by actively opposing pressure. You are causing with inside you pressure pushing on the outside the pressure that the enemy is bringing in you. The enemy wants to bring you thoughts that are going to steal, kill, and destroy from you. Let me put it another way. There truly are demons. They actually exist. when Jesus faced them, that means you're going to face them. And they could get cast out of somebody, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they leave planet Earth. There are just as many demons today on planet Earth as there was when Jesus was here. And so what you need to realize is that there is an enemy that hates you, doesn't like you, would like to destroy you, wants to steal from you, kill you, wants to take your life down. And the only way you are going to withstand that in the evil day is by having something inside you that pushes out, and that is going to be the Word of God. So I'm going to give you a couple of little pointers real quick on how to do that. This is wrapping up a little bit of last week. Number one, you need to understand that God loves you. He cares for you, and he desires you to be free from oppression. You need to believe this before you can go to number two. If you don't believe this, then you need to get into the scriptures. You need to start watching videos of Pastor Josh and myself that talk about the love of God and talk about being accepted, talk about salvation, talk about who you are in Christ. You need to get this down. You need to believe you're on God's team, and he takes care of his team members. The second thing that you need to do is familiarize yourself with Bible verses that relate to your situation. What's going on in your life? Is it financial? Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it relational? Whatever it is, there's Bible verses for everything. And you need to familiarize yourself. And what I mean by that is you need to memorize, reflect on, recite these Bible verses each day until they are part of you. And you do these three things, you have power. The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Inside you is the power of God that's pushing the pressure out, which is allowing you to withstand in the evil day. So if you are going to withstand in the evil day, you need to do these things that produce inside you the very power of God that he is intended for you to have and for you to win in life. So now we're going to go into Psalms 103 verses 19 for 22. This was for you to have just a summary. And if you are in our phone app and look at my sermon notes, I don't think this is in there. I think I added it last night. So if you want to take a picture, it's about to go away. Okay, I see a few cameras out, a couple of things that you may want to have that, or take a picture up there or rewatch the video. Okay, Psalms 103, verse 19 through 22, finishing and bringing this whole psalm all together with these different segments. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is how it ends. So what we're going to do, I prayed a lot about how to summarize this because I realized these few verses I could probably go for 4 weeks on, and I only had today. But we'll go in a deep way that I believe the Holy Spirit has led me to lead you and to help you in the things that we just talked about because of the deliverance that's going to be in your life because you following Psalms 103. So let's look at it in which I would like to, I always like to tear things apart, the words from the Hebrew or the Greek, the Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. I like to research those and find out how it relates to us today. Do we have the same image and picture of what was written as David? David wrote Psalms 103. I think David is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I mean, his writings, his psalms, his songs, the things that he did, and then you take Solomon, his son, who exceeded everyone in wisdom, and you have this information that will never, ever need to leave you that is applied. I mean, thousands of years later, we are amazed at what they said. And here's David, and he says this, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. The word establish is super important. Because this Hebrew word signifies the action of setting in place or erecting an object, putting something in place for a particular reason. It is there and it's not moving. When God establishes something, No one can move it. So what did he establish? He established his throne. Now, in the modern American mindset, there are more people who believe that the throne of God is there for the purpose of ruling and demanding your perfect behavior and your perfect morality. And if you don't be perfect, he's going to crush you. That's most people's thought. When you say, okay, just explain the throne to me. You know, have it go through. Let's see. What is it to you? In the Old Testament, it describes the throne room of God. It's pretty amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And in the Old Testament, there's a particular chapter that gets into tremendous detail, and it says this. It says that the throne of God is made out of pure sapphire. And it's on top of a platform made out of sapphire. So imagine blue. It starts off with blue. And then holding this platform up that the throne sits on top of are four angelic beings. And that they have different wings and different faces, and they have four faces. One here, one here, one here, one here. All four of them do. This is found in the Old Testament. These are particular angels that are assigned to do one thing, and that is to have the throne of God go wherever he wants to go. And it says that in the middle of those four angels is a fire of heaven. Then it describes God as being a fire, a burning light from the waist down and the waist up. So imagine all the colors of light going through the sapphire throne and through the sapphire platform and the blue tint that is going on. And it says that the throne room is walled in gold. So can you see this very colorful? You see the colors of a fire going, touching and going through a sapphire throne, going through a sapphire platform, and these angelic beings, whatever direction they go, is forward. They can go this way. They can go this way. And it says that they sit on top of a wheel that's in a wheel. And you thought Apple created the mouse. I mean, it is. It's the best way to describe it. It's in they roll. It can go anywhere, and they are constantly in sync in the holy presence of God. And then above the throne, there are these other angelic beings that fly around saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." According to David, that throne room is established, and he rules over everything. That his kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over all. Not the throne, the kingdom. His kingdom rules over all, which means whatever he has declared to be part of his kingdom is also established, and he has established that. He has put it in place. Did you know he established salvation through the cross and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? That is an established fact. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's an established fact. So he says the Lord has established his throne. So now we need, can we get any more insight on that throne? The Old Testament gives us this wonderful image, a visual of the throne. But the New Testament gives us something that the Old Testament doesn't. And we find in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the writer of Hebrews says this, "Let us therefore come boldly," which means confidently, not arrogantly, but confidently, "boldly to the throne of grace." We find out from the author of Hebrews that God named his throne, and he named it grace. He actually named his chair. And he sits on a chair named grace. I mean, how much can we get out of that? And he says that to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This throne room was created for you to come into it. What's interesting is this word mercy, it means to show kindness or concern for someone in serious need. Have you ever been in serious need? Then God expects you to come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace and enter into the throne room of God himself. And he says, "What do you need?" "I'm here to help." Again, that's Psalms 103. It's a lot of that. Mind-boggling stuff. So now let's go back, and it says this in Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength and do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, his host, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. I want you to notice, because I almost took off this direction. I would love to take off into a direction and give you a whole talk on angels and the different kinds of angels. There are many, many different kinds of angels, cherubim, seraphim. There is these angels who what they do, they excel in strength. They are strong angels and they do his word. This angelic group or this spiritual group of angels, their entire responsibility is to make sure his word comes to pass and it happens in your life. And if you're holding on to a promise of God, they have been assigned to make sure it happens. They are busy making sure that God's will, God's way, God's word is getting done. And then he says this, bless the Lord, all his host. His host is a different group of angels. These are military angels. These are fighting angels, warring angels. And they are referred to as ministers of his who do his pleasure. Here is what his pleasure is. The Bible says that it brings God pleasure to bring prosperity to you, which means success in the assignment you've been tasked to do. These angelic military angels are assigned to you to make sure that the enemy doesn't win, that you win. They have been assigned to respond to your faith and your belief and what's going on in your life with God and that you are following him and his ways and his word, and they are here to help you. And then what we have, so this is just a little snapshot of angels, but I'm really not focused on that. I'm focused on this word, blessed. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want you to look at something, at the category in these few verses of how many groups of people or spiritual beings or living creatures have been called to bless the Lord. Here is the phrase, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength. Bless the Lord, his host, who do the war for you. Bless the Lord, all his works. This is where the psalmist writes that the trees and the oceans will clap their hands. And Jesus said the rocks will cry out if the people don't acknowledge him as the Messiah. The rocks would cry out and praise him. This is where rocks do praise God. Dirt praises God. Trees praises God. All that he's ever done praises him. And then it says this, in all the places of his dominion, then it says, which I think is pretty amazing, bless the Lord, O my soul. Where David says, I will join the angels, the militant angels, I will join all the works of his, and I as a person will also bless. David gives a command for the angelic beings to bless the Lord, but he gives his soul to bless the Lord. He commands himself to bless the Lord. With that understanding, here's where I felt like the Lord had brought me to. You have been asked by God to come to the throne room of grace. You've been asked by God to come to the throne of grace in time of mercy, in time of need, and find God to be compassionate, merciful, kind, and generous. But he wants you to come with the promises that he's already declared. But you should also be doing something else. If you are going to live this, then you are going to participate in blessing the Lord. Which leads me to 7 different Hebrew words for praise, thanksgiving, or bless. There are 7 Hebrew words that are translated praise. Boom, 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 boom. And they're different Hebrew words and they mean different things. They also are translated many times with the word thanksgiving or the word bless or be blessed. So we're going to look at the 7 different Hebrew words for this purpose. God created you and put in your DNA the desire deep down to follow fulfillment, joy, happiness, and shalom, peace on the inside. And they will come to you if you participate in the seven different Hebrew words for praise. So I'm going to take a moment and teach you how to praise God. I knew that you'd be super excited. I said, no, or already do it. Do you really? Okay, the first Hebrew word is barach, which means to bless, which is we find in our psalm that we are studying. It means to adore God in his awesomeness by the bending of the knee or to kneel before God. It actually means that you should bow before him, kneel before him. And if you remember on my first week teaching of this psalm, I shared with you that the word bless, and I said I would deal with it in this third week, it means to get down below and to bless the person that you are bowing to and acknowledging that they are above you. They have authority over you. And barach means for you to be able to bow your knee. We find it in Psalms 103 in many places, but bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It is barach, barach. And then the second word is yada, which means praise or thanks. It means to thank God for the things he has done. By raising your arms and your hands. There's a whole lot of you not yada-ing. And in order for you to yada, it means that you are literally going to raise your arms and raise your hands and say, thank you, and you're going to acknowledge something specific that God has done in your life, like gave you breath, gave you food. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. This is thanking God for the things he has done. And if we are truly going to do it, our arms go up. And guess what? Now, here's what some people say. Well, you know, I'm more reserved. I'm not one that likes to express myself outwardly, but I'm really raising my hands inwardly. I've had people tell me that. Well, you're not Yada, the Lord. And you are supposed to lift your hands. Now, here's the whole thing. You will find when you do an inner connection with his Holy Spirit that you never have before. The beautiful connection of putting your hands up, your arms up, saying, I'm yours, Lord, and thank you. Thank you for answering prayer. Thank you for bringing my child into the kingdom of God. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for helping me pay my bills. Thank you. Thank you. Just this attitude. But I've seen the exact same people who never raised their hand in church doing line dancing in the church parking lot. I've seen them jump out of the couch and throw their hands up during the Super Bowl. Okay, here's it. Psalm 7:17 says this, I will yada the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. I will put up my arms and my hands to the Lord according to his righteousness. And this is a form of worship, a form of praise that God has actually created us to do. It's deep inside our DNA. God wants us to lift our hands and our arms more than just the first two rows of the church. Did that come out? I thought it, but I didn't know it came out. Anyway, the next one is toda. And it means to thank God in advance for the answer. It's a sacrifice of praise and offering to the Lord. This is very different than yada. It means that we're supposed to thank God. The prayer hasn't been answered yet. The thing hasn't taken place yet. But you have brought it to the throne room of grace. And the first thing that should come out of our mouth should be toda, which has to do with giving thanks to God, and in that act of thanksgiving, guess what? In many of the locations, your arms end up in the air. I want to thank you because you have started that deliverance. I want to thank you because I am set free. I want to thank you that I am healed. It may not yet have manifested, but it is scriptural, spiritual, and a power of the Spirit that puts the power of the enemy in his place that you worship God with thanksgiving before the event takes place. Very powerful. Oh, let's give him a good clap. Yes. Very powerful. Psalms 26, verse 7, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving, Toda, and tell of all your wondrous works. May I be one that declares it is already done before it is done. This is an act of faith. Number four is Shabbat, which means to praise God with a loud, shout, to glory and boast about God. We have water baptism today. When a person gets water baptized, that's a work of God, and that is worthy of Shabbat. Worthy of a shout. Worthy of a shout. Psalms 47, verse 1. Oh, clap. Oh, I forgot about that one. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. Shabbat to God with the voice of triumph. So when somebody comes out of the water during water baptism, the hands should be coming together and the voices should be shouting, and we would be doing something that is very spiritual, very scriptural. I was reminded of something, and I believe it's the Holy Spirit that brought this to my mind. The things that I'm sharing with you are written by David. David is the introducer, and pretty much that we give King David the credit for most musical instruments that are that have evolved to be used in church and in worship. He was a tremendous musician and an author, and he lived under the law of Moses. And someone might say, well, this is under the law, so I'm under grace, I don't have to do it. People do that with tithing. They say tithing's under the law, and I'm not under the law, so I don't have to do it. And again, I've shared this publicly many, many times. I'm not sure why do you pick tithing? A whole lot of stuff is under the law. Tithing is before the law, under the law, and after the law. But so is worship. Worship is before the law, and it's under the law. You're commanded to worship under the law. Outside the law, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we get to worship. You see, tithing is not a command that God is ordering you to do something. He has given you a door of opportunity for blessing. Worship is not a command that he is like some egotistic spiritual being that he can't exist unless you bow before him and pay homage to him. No. God created everything for your good. And worship actually brings you closer to him, connected to him, and submissive to him. And when you are in spiritual battle, when you are facing the evil day, worship is a tool you need to be very proficient at. And these words can help you be proficient. I find it interesting that there is no instructions in the New Testament at all for the worship team, for worship. It's all in the Old Testament. But yet, we don't argue that that's under the law and we shouldn't do it. What I'm saying is, God has designed you to be people of his Spirit and his kingdom. In order for his kingdom to come and his will be done in your life, we want to do his system, and his system is about generosity and about worship. They're part of our DNA. They're just part of how we're wired. God wants us to do it. And he actually wants you. There are times we should clap our hands and we should shout to the Lord. Number five, zamar, means to sing praises to God accompanied by instruments. Okay, that one's kind of easy, isn't it? We do this every Sunday. We have instruments playing, and we are singing along with them. Psalms 149, verse 3. Let them praise his name with the dance. Whoa. Yeah, because this is on the Hebrew words for praise, but I did not get to all of the Hebrew ways of praising that are still part of our life. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises, zamar, to him with the timbrel and harp. So here we are supposed to be zamar, which means to sing praises to him, and there should be some dancing. We'll get to the dancing in just a second, and here we have it. Halah means to celebrate, to make a show, to glory in God. If you are going to do halah, there is going to be a show. There's going to be a thing that takes place. There is going to be dancing. There could be spinning. There could be flags. There could be banners. There could be different things that are taking place, in all for the glory of God. And he wants you to have a show. He wants you to be excited about him. And here's what's interesting about halah. In Psalms 148, the word praise is the Hebrew word halah is found 13 times in a very little psalm. And 13 times it tells us that you should make a show, and it talks about the different things, different components of how the show should happen, what should take place. And then we have our seventh one. Our seventh one is Tehillah, super easy to remember. Yeah, sounds like tequila. You were all thinking it, but it's Tehillah. It could have the same effect if you really get involved in it, but this one doesn't leave hangovers. Okay, Tehillah, spontaneous praise through singing to God or to sing a new song. Now, if you are very high on tequila, you're probably singing too. But it may not be the song to God. But Tehillah is a spontaneous praise. This is a new song. This is where something just comes up and you just start saying something over and over and over. Or the person leading worship asks you to repeat a phrase again and again and again. And that phrase that's being repeated is not, and it turns into the song of the day, the song of the moment. It doesn't mean it should be recorded and should be put on social media, not even on TikTok. It's just for that moment as a special time, a special thing of God, a connection with the Spirit of the living God. At that moment, he just wanted you to say it because it's doing something special to those that are in the room. And we find that one in Psalms 149. We find it a lot of places. I'm just picking a few verses. These words that I'm sharing with you are found many, many times. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise or his tehillah in the assembly of the saints. In order to do tehillah properly, it's going to have to be this spontaneous song that comes up. Just like, or they take a phrase of a song that we've already sang and they just keep asking you to repeat it, and you just know it just clicks. It could lead to healing movement of the Holy Spirit. It could lead to other gifts of the Spirit, could lead to tongues interpretation, could lead to prophecy, could lead to the different spiritual things that we find out in the New Testament, where you need to understand the Old Testament did such a good job on instructing us on how to worship. There was nothing to add in the New Testament except singing in the Spirit, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where Paul said, I will sing in the understanding and I will sing in the Spirit. And singing in the Spirit would also fall under tehillah, where somebody that's in the team that's leading worship leads you into what we would call free worship. And that free worship is just you're expressing your own tehillah at that moment. You're expressing your own words. You are just worshiping God, and you might move into singing in the Spirit. If you have a heavenly language that the New Testament talks about many times, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and have that heavenly language, you can just start singing in the Spirit, and that becomes the tehillah of the moment. And God just starts to move, starts to answer prayer, starts doing things in your life that are just absolutely amazing, and you go home filled with the Spirit. And then what happens? Let's go back to the first one. Barach means to bless, adore God in his awesomeness by the bending of the knee, to kneel before the Lord. There are times where you just get overwhelmed. You said, you know, I just want to get down on my knees and thank God. Just want to worship him. So with that understanding, let's wrap up these last few verses. Barak the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Barak the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Barak the Lord, bow your knee, bend your knee, acknowledge God to be the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Barak the Lord, O my soul. You don't have to be at church to practice these seven Hebrew words of praise. You can do it at home. You can do some of them in your car, some of them. Please don't close your eyes when you're driving. But you need to start practicing these methods, these words, these places. And again, if you say, well, that's just not me. You're never going to get me to do that. Hey, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. But I do know the new creation has been wired with the DNA to express yourself and express your heart and express your intent through worship. We have been made to worship. Not because God needs it, but because we need it. And there's this healing that takes place that happens during worship. So this wraps up Psalms 103. Did you get something out of it? Did you like it? Just thank the Lord for it.